So let's turn in our Bible this morning to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews 5, verse 11. And listen to an exhortation and a warning from the Spirit of God to the church today. It's always good to get one of these, to have one of these, to experience one of these exhortations from the Lord. A lot of times they shake us up a little bit, but we need shaking up once in a while. Warnings, we need those definitely, because God loves us, and He's always trying to lead us and guide us and warn us from staying out of places that we're going to get in trouble. These scriptures this morning that we're going to be getting into in Hebrews 5 and Hebrews 6 are some of the most misquoted and abused in the Word of God. Many have really been cast down and spiritually stomped on by these verses, thinking that maybe they've committed the unpardonable sin and that there's no hope for them. The reason that they receive these verses that way is because somebody knows the Bible more than you do, and that's our arch enemy, Satan. He knows the Word of God, and he'll quote it to you. If he quoted it to Jesus, he's going to quote it to you. Remember in the wilderness he came and he said to Jesus, "Jesus, why don't you cast yourself down from the pinnacle? It says that in the scriptures it is written that the angels will take you up and take charge of you and won't let you dash your foot against the stone." And he quoted, and he actually took out of the Psalms the scripture and quoted it to Jesus. Jesus said, "It is also written," and he busted him on it because Satan tried to bring it out of context. He did take it out of the Psalms, out of context, didn't even finish the verse, and just said, "Well, the Bible says." Jesus says, "But it is also written." And he went on to quote Scripture, and this is something that we need to know, that first of all, that Satan is going to try to use the Word of God against you. He's going to try to pull it out of context to get you upset. And then if you, he'll try to even get you to play Bible roulette, some of you younger Christians. You need to know an answer from the Lord, so you just take the Bible and you just go. Oh, no. You know, it doesn't work. So don't try it. Trying to get the direction and guidance from God, and you just Bible roulette. Dangerous. We need to understand and we need to compare Scripture with Scripture. Jesus is always trying to give us that example. Always compare what you're hearing with the whole Word of God, God's full counsel. Never take anything that's just thrown at you. Bear witness with the whole Word of God. Sometimes as I'm going through trying to get something squared away in my own mind and try to understand something, I'm trying to compare Scripture with Scripture, and then I still come up short and I still say, "Well, I just totally don't understand it. But I know that he says what he means and he means what he says, and when he said it, it made perfect sense. But it just doesn't quite click with me." And I know that when I don't understand something, I know that I'm not looking at it right. And it's on me, not on him. And so I have to just kick back and say, wait for further information and move along and not let it bother me, not let it get me down. Just pick up and go for it, you know. So many times we run into something that really shakes us up when the Lord would have us to just really pick it up and just say, "I don't understand, I'm just going to move on." Instead of letting it get you down so. In chapter 5, verse 11, the writer of Hebrews is sharing to the Christian Jews. Now you got to keep that in mind. These are to Christian Jews. These were in danger of slipping away. These were actually in danger of becoming spiritually stunted because they wanted to get into some other things, you see. They wanted to get into the law a little bit more and sacrifices. And, you know, just Jesus and what he was teaching just wasn't enough for them. But they were getting into bad areas. And so the writer is trying to exhort them, trying to warn them of spiritual degeneration. Chapter 5, verse 11, He says, of whom we have many things to say. We want to talk to you about Jesus and a lot of things we have to tell you about him, but are hard to be uttered or hard to be given to you guys, seeing you are dull of hearing. The problem was because of the hearers and not because of the subject. They were dull of hearing. And over in chapter 6, verse 12 of Hebrews, there's another word that goes along with dull of hearing, and that's that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. That word slothful and dull of hearing are two exact words. They mean the same thing. You see, the writer had many things to give to them, to teach them, but he couldn't because he saw. I want you to understand that he saw that they had a lack of hearing. You can see when people can't hear. You can pick up on it when they're not really growing, when they're not moving on as they should be. So he did. Sure like to tell you some more, but I can't. Because you're dull of hearing, having a hard time. These people have gotten sluggish in their listening to God's direction. Now, if we're not constantly moving on with the Lord and with the things of God and having a spiritual growth in our life, then we're in danger of that degeneration. Not generation, you know how you generate something, but degeneration. That's the other way. Kind of just, you know, you kind of just blah, you know, you're just kind of there, you know, and you're not, you know, really excited about the Word of God, or, you know, you just kind of slowly moving on. But yet you're not moving on because you're just stunted because of your hearing. So he's trying to exhort them to hear with their ears. That's what they were given two ears for. And God gave them spiritual awakening so they can understand spiritual things. So the Lord was always saying to the church, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Discernment. Now, Paul had a problem with the Corinthians, and I'll read it to you over in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul said, and brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, which is fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, or neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? You see, he could sense and see that they were still babes. They weren't growing. How could you see that? Because they were sitting there, you know, scratching each other's eyes out and hitting each other with their bottles, you know, and throwing their pacifiers across the church, hitting somebody in the eye, you know. Really messing around. You know how you can tell a baby? They're unruly. They're just bananas, right? They just do whatever, you know? And with young Christians, you can tell them. Because at times, they're just unruly. Man. They're walking without the knowledge of the Word of God. And that gets heavy. But yet he's saying, hey, you've been Christians for a while. And then I come to try to share with some things with you, some of the deeper things I wanted to move you into, and I couldn't. There's disputes and fightings and warrings amongst you. A bunch of babies still. So we had the same problem with the Corinthians. Immaturity due to laziness because they just weren't growing. Now, verse 12 in Hebrews 5. He says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so it sounds just like Paul exhorting the Corinthians, doesn't it? This is why I kind of feel that the Hebrews was, you know, I believe was written by Paul. The same exhortations throughout the Scriptures. But here he is giving these Hebrews the same thing. I wanted to come and give you some neat things, but I've got to bring you guys back now and give you the ABCs. Start you all over again. You're still at the level of emotions. You're very emotionally, you know, moved. and you're still at the level of spiritual experiences. And you're all, you know how the Corinthians were always looking for that, quote, quote, spiritual experience? That emotion, that feeling, that movement? And just as you would say to a little baby, you'd say, now, don't you go near the water. Don't go near that water. And I'm just trying to look out for you. And that baby just kind of looks up. Oh, yeah? I haven't experienced that stuff. I'm going to experience it. You know, down to the bottom, right? And then they're going, help, help, you were right, you know. I want out of here. And you got to go out and get them out of there. So Paul is warning of spiritually being stunted is dangerous. And it can cause problems. You know, there's people that are going around looking for experiences. I call them blessing bouncers. They go around and try to find, you know, they hear that there's, hey, did you hear down the street? They're having a revival. And people are falling all over the place. And it's really something. You ought to come. So you come down there and you go, yeah, they're falling all over the place. Big deal. You know, it's just like, They're going after from this thing to that thing, and I've shared it with you before, I'm going to share it again, that they have a very unbalanced diet, a very unbalanced Christian walk, because they're bouncing around everywhere, getting all kinds of weird stuff. And their diet is really shows in their lives, because they're unbalanced. They've been getting all the Coke you can drink down there, and all the popcorn you can eat over here, and, you know, candy you can eat over there, and they've been eating it. And, you know, hurting. And you can tell it in their lives. They need to go back now to the 1 plus 1 equals 2. Now I want to take you back now to the very basics of where we're at, because you're getting off now. You're going to get in trouble. You're getting off on experiences and emotions instead of the Word of God. Watch it. Now baby Christians are neat, and I grant you I love to have them around. I was, the other night, we went to get some pizza. We walked into the pizza place, and outside it looked kind of, you know, far out. But when we got, you know, it didn't look like a pizza place, you know. And we walked in, and it was a pizza place. It said pizza on it, but it didn't look like it. And we walked in, and it said, you know, rejoice in the Lord as you walked in, you know. And he got farther in there, and this guy comes swinging around, and he goes, hi, how are you? You know? Wow, you guys are here. Yeah, hi, Jeff. You know, and how you guys doing? You guys have come to buy pizza here, huh? We said, yeah, yeah. He says, you got half off, man. I said, wow, that's great. He said, well, praise the Lord. You know, I'm manager here, and, you know, and he walked around there, and he was getting them all ready, and he stacked them up there, and he found out that we just didn't order a couple. We ordered seven, you know. So, he said, well, you know, if my boss found out that I gave you half off of all this, but, you know, but I'll give you 20%. I can give you 20%. I went, praise the Lord. That's neat. And he was all excited to give us, you know, the 20% and just that we came to patronize this, you know, pizza place. And he gave them to us, and we walked out, and we were just, you know, blessed through the whole thing, you know, because we had some fellowship there in the pizza parlor. And it's neat. Young Christians are just, wow, man, they're just excited. They show you a scripture they just found, and it's neat to have them around. In fact, the scripture says that as young Christians, you're to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, I want to exemplify the word tasted, because I want to get into it more. You've tasted that the Lord is good. And that He is gracious. And that's why you're excited. And you're desiring the sincere milk. But when you start to see people that have been walking with the Lord for years, and you come up to them and they go, goo, goo. You know? Duh, duh. You go, how long have you been walking with the Lord? A goo, 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 yeah. You know? And you go, whoa. That hurts you. I mean, they go, I've been with the Lord for 4 years. But then they start talking about this weird thing, and they're off, way off from the Word of God, and they're into some weird thing. And you just go, oh, man, that hurts. Now, everybody, grant you, everybody needs milk. And you got to have it. But when your diet is just milk and milk alone, and as you grow and that's all you get is milk, you're going to be hurting as you grow. You need a balanced diet. You need, that's why at Calvary we try to give a balanced diet, and we have so many nights of the week that something is going on. Every night of the week something's going on here. And you're going to come here and one night you're going to walk into a bunch of mashed potatoes. You go, oh, hey, I like those, you know. And you're going to eat them and it's going to be good. Now, I grant you, you might come to a night where there's peas. And you say, well, I don't like peas, you know. But you got to have them. So you sit down and you say, all right, I'm going to eat them. And you know, you're going to find out that a balanced diet is going to make you grow and get you strong in the things of God. And we've got something going on. It's a balanced diet here. Because it's what's needed. We've been called forth to feed the flock of God. Now, I grant you that some of it is on your part, as Christian immaturity is on your part, because you have so many things available to you, and some of you just say, well, I just like milk, so I just come Sundays. Now, if you take care of business during the week, and you go to another home study, and you're getting into the Word of God yourself, and you're getting the meat and the potatoes and all that, fine. But if you're not, it's on you then. Because God has set up here a balanced situation. And you're not getting it if you're not taking advantage of it. And so you're going to be a little stuck. And you're not going to really move out like God wants you to. Now, a lot of the blame, though, I know also is on the pastors of today. Because there's many, many that aren't teaching the Word of God. They don't even know how. I talked to this one pastor that he was brought through the seminary and he got through and he says, well, they didn't teach me how to teach. They just taught me how to preach. That's all I know how to do. So every morning he kept there and just beat the sheep. You got to, you know. And then he'd take a scripture and twist it and throw it all out of context and say what he wanted it to say and it would be social things, you know. And you just go, what was that all about, you know? And you have a hard time getting it in. And he didn't know how to teach. And I can't handle these guys that are up there and fancy speaking men that call themselves men of God that aren't feeding the flock like they should be, but they're just itching their ears, throwing out stuff and saying, this is the way, this is the, you know, walk in this way. And they just throw scriptures out and really are deceiving the body of Christ. And we're seeing a lot of brothers and sisters really confused. And to see them, you know, it really hurts me to see them out there going, boy, this is good, man. This guy's really giving us some good stuff when it's a bunch of trash. And they take it in and they believe it without checking it out in God's Word, without finding whether it God said it. Oh, but this brother said this, and this pastor said that. Tough. What does God's Word say? That, to me, is sad. No wonder the church is hurting. No wonder they can't get anything together if they're not getting into the Word of God and not getting fed a balanced diet. Praise God that there is fellowships being raised up, that the body of Christ is getting fed what they need, and that's the Word of God. I want you to, oh man, there's a great scripture in First Epistle of John. I'll just read it to you in chapter 2, verse 14. Paul or John says, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Notice, he's writing to those that are strong. Why are they strong? And why are they overcoming the wicked one? Because they're in the Word of God. That's why. And you can't be strong, and you can't overcome the enemy unless you are in the Word of God. There's no way. You'll just be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, not knowing what's up or what's down. You'll be confused in your Christian walk. And you'll be spiritually stunted. Verse 13 of Hebrews 5. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So if you're just staying with the milk, you're going to be unskillful in the ways of righteousness. Now, you know, I grant you, on Sunday mornings, you get some meat a little bit and you get some milk, but you're missing out if you're not taking advantage of all that God has given to us in his word here and the various teachers and pastors. You see, God raised up, first of all, the church to minister to him. Second of all, he raised up the church to minister to itself. He raised up pastors and teachers to teach the flock and to lead them in the ways of the Lord. If you're not taking advantage of it, you're missing out. To cause us to be perfected as saints, to for the continuance of the ministry in Ephesians 4, that you won't be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, that you will be able to be teachers of the Word of God. Each one of you needs to become and grow into the place where you can teach the things of God and the Word of God and give it to somebody else, because one man can't do it out there. There's too many walking wounded out there. There's too many that needs to be ministered to by the Word of God. And it's each one of our part to grow up in the things of God so we can share the things of God. And so a baby's going to grow up. A baby is going to become responsible, mature adult, right? I mean, when the dad's out there with his three-year-old son and says, "Come on, son, pick up that bat." So he picks up the bat like this, and his dad pitches in the ball, and he goes, you know, and misses it about 40 times. "That's all right, son. You're going to grow up, man." So he gets up there about 5 or 6, and he's choking up a little bit further, and he's able to swing a little bit better. Then he gets up a little bit farther, and man, he's knocking it out of the ballpark. And dad's going, "All right, you know, you're growing up. You can hit that ball now." That's what I like to see, encouraging him, you know. And the maturity is just causing him to be strong. We can knock that ball right out of the park. Because of what? Because continuing into it. Because he's becoming useful and skillful. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to who? To them that are of full age. You see, to those that are seeking after the Word of God, they're going to find it. If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, guess what? You're going to be filled. You're going to get it. And you're going to grow in the things of the Lord. So, they belong to those that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, these that are not only hearers of the Word of God, because there's a lot of you that are out here, even this morning, that you're only a hearer of the Word of God. You just hear it. But when it comes to doing it, that's a different story. But yeah, when you start to hear the Word of God and then do it, what you're doing is you're proving the Lord. You're taking the weapons of your warfare, which He has given you, the Word of God and prayer, and you're going to start to use them, and you're going to start to see, hey, they work. This is all right. Hey, I'm really getting into this. I'm really having victory through this. I like this. And then you're able to then overcome the various winds of doctrine, aren't you? You're able to say, that's not of God. You're messing around with something that's not of God. Let me tell you what's of God. Come here, you know, and teach them the Word of God. And we're going to see a much healthier body for Jesus Christ as we each go out and share what God has given to us. Not only that, you're going to be able, notice, to discern good from evil, huh? That's not of God, that is. How do you do that? You know the Word of God. You know God to the point of just saying, that's not my Lord. My Lord would never say that, never do that. That's just not flowing with the Word of God. So I reject it. Rooted in God's Word. You either use or lose. That's the way it is. You use or you lose. God help us to start using what He's given us and be winners, overcomers. Now, continuing on into chapter 6, verse 1, he says, therefore. Now, there's always a wherefore for the therefore, and the wherefore is what we've already talked about, that you need to grow up in the things of God, that you need to become mature, skillful in the things of God. Now, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, of the ABCs, let's leave these now. Let us go on. Let's press on to perfection or completion, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, Remember, these are Jewish Christians he's writing to, and some of the doctrines that they were following and staying away from really now is repentance towards dead works. What is dead works? Dead works, actually, what he's talking about here is you're not saved by doing, you're saved by believing. Right? It's not by doing something. Well, every Sunday I do it. I pray every Sunday. I make sure every Sunday. Well, big deal. Every Sunday, big deal. Well, hey, I want you to know I'm there every Sunday. It's not by doing, it's by believing. And so that is repentance towards dead works. But the Jews had a problem because they had all kinds of, as far as faith in God, they had the law, they had the sacrifices, they had the ordinances, they had all that garb, the traditions. And when it came to having faith in God, they had a hard time with it because they had so many other things to trust in and to look for as far as working their way to heaven. And then finally, when it came down to, you just got to trust in God, they went, oh my goodness, you're kidding. And Peter said, and it just really hit him with this one, over in Peter chapter 1, verse 18, he says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, you weren't saved by those things. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb of God without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Jesus you do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, and your faith and hope might be in God. So it comes right down to Jesus, okay? Have faith in God, what God has provided, that Jesus Christ has taken away your sins, and you can have all your sins washed away and taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. Believe God. Okay, that's basic, though. Let's move on from there. Let's just don't stay there. Okay, let's verse 2. And the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands. Now, these were just two things that the Jews did. They had baptisms. They had many types of washings. But as Christians, we have baptisms, plural, because we have water baptism. You have the baptism in the body of Christ. You have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have different baptisms. Okay, that's basic. Let's move on. Well, we have the laying of hands. Lay on the hands of those that are sick and they shall recover. Yet we see in the Old Testament the Jews had the laying on of hands of the priesthood. Okay, that's basic. That's their basic doctrine. Flow right into what Christianity is. See, Judaism is kind of like infancy state, where Christianity is coming into manhood. You see, let's go further into this thing. The next two. He says, from the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. The resurrection of the dead, they believed it. The Pharisees believed it. And we believe it as Christian. It's a basic doctrine that we believe that Jesus said and that he is the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me, Jesus said, will never die. And he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live forever and ever. Man, that is a promise. And we bank on that, huh? The resurrection of the dead. And then eternal judgment. Again, basic doctrine. We believe that whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap it. They believed in judgment. We believe in judgment. That God is going to judge each and every man. There is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You can't escape it. I don't care if you believe on it today or not. Judgment is coming. In fact, Jesus talked more about judgment and hell than he did heaven. If you don't believe me, read Luke 16. He really talked the whole chapter on it. A literal, real place. Okay, let's go on. Verse 3 says, and this will we do, if God permit. So, for it is impossible, verse 4, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This scripture is the most misunderstood and abused and misused scripture, I think, in the Word of God. It's a very serious warning, isn't it? I mean, it really is pretty heavy. And this is why I think that God would have us to understand it. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and in using me as his vessel, that you will understand this scripture better when you leave this place today. Because I really want to get into it. Okay, first of all, verse 4. He says, you were once enlightened. That once there in the Greek means once and for all. You were once and for all enlightened. What enlightens us as Christians? What turns us on towards the Lord? The Holy Spirit, doesn't he? For the Holy Spirit has come into the world to convict of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. And you know, the Holy Spirit is here in this world today, convicting of these things. You know, we were talking the other day about Bob Bennett's new album. He put out an album just recently. He's from the body here. And how he's starting to get on all the stations. And we were talking about the different stations, and he's starting to get on to some secular stations. Now, the one that they picked, though, is interesting to put on the secular stations. It's called Night Shift. And those of you that know what Night Shift is, it's just a song of hopelessness with man. That he goes out and Night Shift comes on and he goes in and it's just like it always is. And it's just the hopelessness that man has ahead of him. And there seems like no help or hope. And so the next song that he has on the album is beautiful because it gives you that direction towards Christ. It's just kind of a lead-in song. But that's the one they chose. You see, they have discernment too, don't they? They say, well, you know, I like his album, but this is the song we want. This is the song we want everybody to listen to. They can bear witness to this. You know, they can really understand this hopelessness. You betcha. So they play it. But they don't put any hope. They just give them hopelessness. You see, they know. And you know, men, women today, are moved on by the Holy Ghost, and they know better. He is trying to enlighten them, and they're running the other way. You have to work at not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ today, these days. You have to work at it. Notice, we go on, and he says, and have tasted. Tasted the heavenly gift. That what is the heavenly gift but salvation? They tasted of salvation, that they could be saved. But they never drank. They just licked it. It's good. I taste and see that the Lord is good. But they didn't drink. And Jesus, when he was there at the well with the Samaritan woman, said, if you drink of me, you'll never have to thirst again. Because if you drink of me, I'll give you living waters, which will spring up inside of you of eternal life. See, to those that drink get eternal life, not to those that taste. There's a difference. Those who just taste are really in danger of rejecting Romans 6:23, where it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To reject that, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For this drink, or this scripture, is for those that drink, right? For those of us that have drank, that's for us, isn't it? We can hold on to that. That's good. You say, but Jeff, is it possible for a person to taste and not drink and be lost forever? Could this be possible? It's a good question. To experience God's gifts and not be God's child? Is that possible? Let's look at it a little bit closer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's heavy. When you look at Judas's life, when you see him preaching with the apostles and really getting it on for the kingdom of God out there, you start to think a little bit. He had the tasting. He had the enlightenment, but he blew it. Look at Saul in the Old Testament, how the anointing of God was upon his life, but he rejected it. And he turned, and he blew it, but he tasted of the kingdom of God. He was using the gifts of God. He prophesied. Let's follow a little bit more in Luke 8. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and I think this will really clear some things up. Verse 11. This was the parable that Jesus gave in Luke 8, verse 11, to really explain what I'm talking about right now. Those that have tasted, those that were enlightened. He says in verse 11, now the parable is this. After he shared the parable of the sowing of the seed, he said the seed is the word of God. Okay? Those by the wayside are they that hear. Notice they've heard. Then comes the devil, and he takes away the word of the word out of their hearts. Notice that. It was where? In their hearts. Lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they heard, and notice their hearing, received the word of God with joy. And these have no root though. Which for a while believed. Notice how long they believed. Just a while. Just a while they believed. And in time of temptation, they what? Fell away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they had heard, they go forth and they choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, what do they do with it? You hear it and then you gotta keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. The parable of God's Word. It's actually talking about different people and the effects of the Word of God on different people. As I'm talking this morning, there is different effects going on here with different people. Now, I believe that these in Hebrews have had a definite experience. They've experienced and tasted of the heavenly gift. They've had some change in their life. And then in verse 5, and these have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. R.A. Torrey said, there is a quickening short of regeneration. There is a quickening short of regeneration, and I tend to lean toward that. In other words, these that we're talking about here are rocky ground hearers, where the Word of God will go forth and it'll just land on that rock and they at once just get all excited and say, yeah, that's what I need. Yeah, I hear it and I like it and I want it. And then all of a sudden, say we have a time of coming forward, of receiving Christ, and you run down here and you're maybe even crying and you just really want to do it and you go, this is right. And you come down here and you just really give it your all. But then you go out there and that's it. It's just for a while. And then it gets ripped off. A quickening short of regeneration. Maybe you're going to church. You're going to Bible study. But you're hearers only. You're just hearing and you're not doing what you're hearing. And so because of that, you're not growing. And because of that, you're just tasting. And the warning here is that that's a dangerous place to be in. You're even able to see what God is doing. You come walking in here and you feel the presence of God. You see what He's doing with healing of bodies. You see what He's doing with healing of souls. That people's lives are changed. You look around you and say, these people are different than those out there. Man, they come here every Sunday and every, you know, during the week, and they're here and they worship together. And that is something. That's a miracle to behold. Everybody's just worshiping. That's why we don't have a choir here. We let you guys reveal your hearts to the Lord and pour them out to God and worship the Lord in one accord. And it's a beautiful time together, isn't it? And it's a witness to those that come in. And so they see it. They are experiencing what is said here, the powers of the world to come. But yet in their life there is no fruit. And you have to bear fruit. You know, I sometimes, with these, I have to question their experience. Because Jesus said you're going to know them by their what? By their fruits. And if they have no fruits, God says, I never knew you. That's heavy. Now, I'm not going to judge them. God knows. God knows your heart. I can't, you know, I don't think we should go out and judge people like this. God knows those that are His. But I believe that God would have each one of us know that we're saved. Knowing deep in your heart that, hey, I am saved. Because Jesus said, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Actually, it was in the Gospel of John. These things are written that you might what? Know that you have eternal life, man. Know you're saved. Not live in a question type of position in your life, just seeing how much you can get away with. I know I'm a Christian, but how much can I get into the world? Well, I'll just try. And I'll just have the best of both. I wouldn't want to live in that position. I wouldn't want to walk in that position. Now, you say, well, how can I know if someone's truly born again? Luke's parable says that some aren't going to make it. You heard it. They're going to receive it. They're not going to make it. They're going to come up here and they are not going to make it because they're just tasting. They're not giving it their all, man. They're just half-heartedly doing it. But to be born again, in the parable says that good soil will what? Bear fruit. And good soil means what type of heart do you have? You know, remember what God said to David over there in the Psalm we read this morning, 51? He says, a broken and contrite heart. That is in my sight where it's at. For God looks on at the heart. And really, James said, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. I'll show you that I believe. I'll show you that my God is able to do whatever for my life. By my faith, I'll show you my works, what I do, how I walk. Now, let's look at it a different area. Let's look at it in the human standpoint. A seed is conceived, but not always the child is born, is it? When the seed is conceived. Sometimes there's a miscarriage. Sometimes there's a stillborn. But still, the seed was conceived. And I believe it's the same way in the spiritual realm. The seed enters into a person's heart, develops a little bit, but then that person falls short of being born again. That's what the Scripture is saying in Luke. But what is that time of falling short? Where is it and what is it? I don't know. God knows, though. And He knows where each person's at. And if they're falling short or not, you can't fool God. And you know yourself. Now, they're still experiencing a work of God here in chapter 6, but it's short, you see, because they come at once and for all, receive that final sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because that was final, wasn't it? Jesus says, it is finished. There's a finality there. But then in verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they've crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. The word fall here is not apostasia. It doesn't mean like a backsliding. This word here is used once in the Greek, in the whole Bible, right here, that word fall. And you know what it means? It means to willfully, willingly, treacherously turning from the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of people that come up to me and say, they come crawling in the office, they go, "Oh, Jeff, Hebrews 6. It's me. I've blown it. I've blown it in my life. I've sinned in my life. And you know what? This is me. There's no chance for me now because I've crucified Jesus afresh. I've blown it. There's no chance for me to be restored. I'm totally out of fellowship and I'm just lost forever. So you might as well just, you know, say goodbye to me now because I'm gone." And I have to talk with them and bring them back to the reality of the Word of God and the flowing of God's Scriptures. And I have to share with them, you aren't even... The reason you are here shows that you are under conviction of the Holy Spirit and He's drawing you back to God. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit and just rejecting Christ. You've blown it, okay. But God wants to restore you now. Sure, you've been under condemnation because you listened to what the devil had to tell you. And he pulled this stuff out of context and threw it at you and said, "This is you." You know? And young Christians believe it. They eat it up. And it just wipes them out. If they're not talked to and restored, you know, by the pulling of the Holy Spirit. But God is pulling, see? The conviction of the Holy Spirit brings you to God and the things of God. Now, condemnation from the devil causes you not to want to come to church. "Well, I might as well not come. I blew it. I might as well not even come back to fellowship, go to Bible study, go to Sunday. I can't because I blew it. I'm a sinner. And I've fallen short. And oh, man, I can't do it." See, that's Satan trying to condemn you. But God just wants to forgive you. And His grace wants to be revealed in your life. And so these people are backslid, that's all. They slipped away. They blew it, okay? But they can be restored. But what he's talking about here is those that are willfully, deliberately turning. And I don't know too many that have done this. There are those probably that just said, "Get off my back, God! Quit bugging me! I'm leaving," you know? Maybe there are those. I have never seen anybody yet. But that's what he's talking about. That how can they be? It's impossible for them to be brought back. And you know, the only ones that could really do this are those that are, quote, quote, professing Christians. They're the only ones that can bring an open shame to Jesus Christ. You know what? This scripture doesn't even apply to me, praise God. And to many of you, it doesn't even apply to. It's looking at a whole different thing. Isn't that neat? Not even talking about me, because that's not even where I'm at. But these guys have been enlightened, they've tasted, yet they turned their back. And now there's no hope, they're lost forever. When does God give up on somebody? Hey, I don't know. God knows. But I'll tell you one thing, God's long-suffering with you, and He loves you. But I also know this, that God will not always strive with man. There is a time. I don't know where it is. But He is long-suffering. And so this whole thing doesn't apply to falling into sin. It doesn't apply to backsliding. This whole scripture just is talking to those that are blatantly rejecting the goodness of God's Word, turning it down. Verse 7. "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God." And so the rain is coming down from God. It's going over the whole earth. And there's herbs that are growing up and that are blessed. "But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Now that is a bitter end, to be rejected and burned. But notice, the rain is going out everywhere. Notice, the seed is going out everywhere. You see, the problem isn't in God's Word, but it's in the hearer. How is your heart conditioned this morning? Is it fertile ground? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to break out the fallow ground and to keep you so God can plant things within your life and it'll bring forth fruit? Or are you doing your thing a lot, your own thing, and not willing to yield yourself to God's Word and to be led by the Spirit of God? Because He wants you, each one of you, to glorify His Father which is in heaven. But the herbs and the thorns received the rain. One was blessed, the other was cursed and burned. John 15:6 says, I'll just read it to you, the heavy scripture. If a man abide not in me, Jesus says, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Abiding. Abiding. You know, my body requires certain things. My body requires air. First of all, it requires water, then air and food and exercise. I've got to have these things for my body, or it just is wiped out. So, spiritually speaking, what does my spirit need? Okay, I need the washing of the water of the Word of God in my life. I need to have the atmosphere of prayer in my life. I need to be breathing that. I need to feed on the Word of God. This is soul food. I need to be in it and feeding on it to get my spirit strong. And then finally, I need to exercise consecration. Consecration means totally handing my life over to Him every day more. I need to exercise that in my life. These things will cause you to abide in Christ. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Because I know as I'm abiding, you might say, Jeff, do you believe in eternal security? Do you believe once saved, always saved? I'll tell you something. I believe that as I am abiding in Jesus Christ, I'm eternally safe in my Father's arms. And you can go on with the other. But I'm abiding in Christ, and I know I'm saved. This morning, let's make our calling and election sure. Let's abide. If you're not sure this morning, you need to be sure. If you're not born again this morning, you need to be born again, so you can abide in Christ and receive the blessings of God on your life. And I pray that this warning and this exhortation goes forth to bring forth fruit in each of your lives, as you are not only hearers of the Word, but doers also. And there's going to be fruit, man, that's going to just bless this body and many others that are out there walking around in confusion that need your help. God is raising you up to be teachers, that you would go forth and teach others. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for your Word, which is powerful to really speak deep into our hearts and to exhort us and warn us this morning. We know we need this at times. For Lord, sometimes we do get lazy. We do start to kick back and not get into the basics. And then even from the basics, we fail to grow in more of your Word and to mature more in our walks as Christians. So, Lord, I ask that you'd help each and every one that has received your Son, that has not only tasted but drank, to continue to thirst and to hunger after your righteousness, that they would be filled. Father, this morning I pray for those that don't know you, that you would cause them to receive you by your Spirit, that you would speak to their heart, and maybe they've just tasted, but they need to drink this morning. They need to take you all in. They need to make that commitment of faith to walk with you the days of their life. And I ask all over, as your head is bowed and your eyes are shut, how many would say, Jeff, the Lord is talking to my heart. He's hit me right where I live, right where I'm at. And I need to just get my life right with God. I need to turn my life over to Jesus Christ and to really grow in Him and to just serve Him the rest of my days. And I'm willing to make that commitment and that step of faith. How many would just say, Jeff, I want you to pray for me. I want to make it today. Hold me up in your prayers. And I'm going to make it. I'm going to give it my best to serve God. And I want Jesus to be my Lord. Raise your hand up all over the place. 50 hands going up everywhere. 60 hands. Just hands up everywhere. God sees your heart. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Raise it up. God bless you and you and you and you. Over in the back. In the back. Praise the Lord. God's doing the work. It's just the beginning. You take that first step. And I want to exhort you, those of you that are receiving Christ for the first time this morning, there's one more important step I want you to make, and that's after we dismiss, I want you to go to the prayer room, and I want you to get a Bible and a Bible study and listen to the counselor. The counselor's got some very basic ABCs to give to you, and you need them right now. You need to go forth with them and grow and desire the sincere milk of the Word, and then get into the meat.
Cares for me. This is the end of side two and the end of this cassette. If you'd like a copy for yourself or for a friend, simply write to Firefighters for Christ at 8866 Barcelona Plaza, Westminster, California, zip code 92683. We'll be happy to send it to you free of charge. It's just another gift from Jesus.